Okay. You're Amber
Merritt.
Sorry, I just want to put this on.
That's all right.
But okay. Where was I going with this? So you guys don't get much media coverage. Do your local newspapers? Do they know you're going?
As far as I'm aware, they are going to be notified of.
Okay.
Because it's only been recently that the team's been announced.
Okay.
So.
Because then. And you're from?
Perth.
Perth. Oh, they cover you more because they're like the Western Australian.
Yeah.
But the other, one of them, the other new member is also, one of them is from Western Australia and the other one is from some other place no one cares
Victoria.
About.
Victoria.
Victoria.
Yeah.
And sometimes we call them Mexico and New South Wales.
Yeah, yeah. But they're from Western Australia. They don't have that bias against.
Well, what can we call Western Australians?
Sandgropers?
They
normally get sandgropers, but they've now taken up that name.
Okay. I'm going to try some reasonably intelligent questions. Your wheelchair has how many wheels?
Six.
Well, I mean, there's the wheelchairs. Okay. I know you have the two big ones.
And then you got the two little ones on the front.
You're the one
with
the four as opposed to the three configuration.
Yeah, I've got a four configuration.
Why do you. I was talking to Tony Nard, he says it's a preference thing. Why do you prefer four?
I prefer four because if I only have three, I feel a little unbalanced and I feel like I could come out a lot quicker if I tip backwards. Whereas if I've got four, then I've got that more stability to lean further back and sort of.
Who chooses the threes?
People who've probably got a little more balance who don't want to flex all the way back to reach or.
They're probably not as tall.
Yeah, who don't have that centre of gravity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're a 4.5?
Yes.
Okay, as you can walk, which I know you can't see on audio. What exactly is the nature of it? I know the APC website will tell me some short sentence. You had some problem.
Yes. I was, when my mum was 30 days pregnant, my foot Achilles tendon stopped growing. And
okay.
So my foot up and rotated inwards, and it's called club foot or talipes.
Okay.
So,
So, but you can mostly, walking is not a huge, okay. So why basketball? Why not wheelchair tennis?
Well, I was a swimmer.
Okay.
To start with, and then I lost my swimming classification
as
a disabled athlete, which is a hard thing because then I went into swimming as an able-bodied athlete, and I was getting disqualified because of my disability, because I couldn't do certain things, and they said it was to be trained out of me, and I couldn't. And then I got put into a basketball chair, and they were like,
okay.
Try it. So.
Isn't it having read enough about some of the Paralympians on the basketball thing, there appears to be like this wheelchair mafia that they go, you've just become disabled. You know what you should do. Basketball. Is there like a kind of group that goes, you must be a basketball player?
I think it depends on how they feel people are when they first find out. You know, if there's a basketballer who's just realized they can't play able-bodied basketball anymore, definitely prefer to come into wheelchair basketball.
It just seems like the basketball people heavily into recruiting, whereas I tried some other stuff, and the basketball people seem to get you in the hospital.
Yeah.
So.
It is, I think, as children growing up, it's important for them to find something that they can come as a social sport to come in and practice and not feel so alone going into high schools and stuff.
Is it more like a city sport then because of the social aspects that you need that many players?
It is definitely, we do get a lot more people through because of the social aspect, and there's a team thing as well, and people get to meet more people, and then if they decide to continue on as a more professional thing, they can definitely opt for that.
The reason I asked was one of the wheelchair tennis players said she's in rural Western Australia someplace, and she said she couldn't do basketball because it's too hard to get too many people together per game.
Yeah.
So that's why it seems like more of a city thing?
Yeah, it is. We've in Perth, we've just started to go a bit more regional now.
Okay.
And we've got, I think we're setting one up in Kalgoorlie, and we're also setting one up in Mandurah. So,
cool. Okay, cool. Do you mind if we record you?
Sure.
Okay. I promise not to say too much. I'm trying to ask non-offensive questions today.
That's right.
You're...
Sarah.
God, I'm really... What's your name again?
Sarah.
You're Sarah...
Vincey.
The
team.
And you're not the Western Australian, you're the Victorian.
Not
Western. No, you're the Western Australian. So, and you're... Oh, God. You're in a wheelchair, unlike... Oh, God, ever. I just...
it's okay.
I'm really awful with names and faces.
That's okay.
So, but what class... You're a... What class player?
One.
You're one. Okay, so your job is to set the blocks.
The picks, seals, stuff like that,
so
yeah.
Your job is to ram the other team's players to totally disrupt their play?
Pretty much.
So you have the fun job.
It's pretty good.
She's got all the Ember, the 4.4.
The pressure job.
Has got the pressure job. You have the job where you...
Well, I got to get her in the K-ways as well.
Okay. So as a one-point player, why not rugby? When you could ram people much more effectively.
I just enjoy basketball, I guess. So I'd rather that than... That's just too dangerous for me. I'd rather stick to basketball.
You're too delicate.
Yeah, I couldn't play rugby
so at all. You would... I'm trying to think of... you would prefer someone like Lauren Jackson as opposed to somebody like... who's a rugby player? I don't know any.
Wade Cooper.
Wade Cooper as your role model. So.
Yeah, we'll go with that because I don't know many rugby players either.
So you're a delicate flower who wants to go ram people.
Sure.
He doesn't want to be rammed too hard.
Yeah, I don't want it back. I just want to ram people.
Do you have the muscle strength to push yourself up when you fall over?
Because I don't have much core strength.
Yeah.
So I can lean myself up, but then I need someone to be able to... Give me that extra boost.
Because the Chinese players seem to have, like, their coach seemed to come on the floor.
Yeah.
Or they all seem to kill time by
lifting.
Going as a team to lift them up. You guys
that's
just
what
go.
I would do as well. Okay. Like, they would have to lift me up.
But it wouldn't be like a big, let's all four, my teammates come and lift me up.
Like a weightlift.
I need about two, isn't it?
Yeah, two or three.
So I lean up on someone else's chair, then they flick me back.
So is that, it's not embarrassing or anything? You just
no,
part of the game?
Just get used to it after a while.
So I asked her, why basketball?
I don't know. I just kind of gave it a go at a spina bifida camp, same with my disability. And from there, I just really enjoyed it. So I thought, why not give it a go? Yeah, I go.
I'm just trying to think. You didn't want to do tennis or archery?
I tried tennis. I was really bad. Archery is just too boring.
Okay, so shooting would definitely be too boring.
Yeah, I'd rather job sports where you can just move around instead of just sitting in one place. So a bit more physical.
Okay.
But not too aggressive. Hence rugby.
Yeah, well, rugby's too aggressive. Basketball is just right.
Did you watch the men's game last night?
No, we couldn't make it.
They seem to think they were in the wrong sport.
Oh, the men are always hard.
Yeah, the men's a lot
more physical.
Physical? Okay.
Yeah, pretty aggressive last night. One of them actually got injured. The British.
Oh, the British coach was not amused with the Australian dirty play. Do you guys play dirty? Are you guys a bunch of good sports?
I think there's always an aspect of playing dirty, I think.
Is it? Do girls play dirty? Like, as an American, having watched a lot of soccer, I noticed that women play dirtier and look for the cheap shots, whereas men try to just straight on get you. Do you think there's more dirty play amongst... Not like, I'm not saying you guys are, but do you think in general women play dirtier than men on some level?
I think we do to some degree, but we're more subtle about
yes.
it.
They're just all ram and...
You guys are whereas like, we'll be like, oh, we'll just... Move you over here now. They won't notice.
That's one thing I was sort of noticing as well. When the referee's looking away, it's generally when the players actually get a little bit more aggressive because they know that they're not going to get penalised for it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. What the refs don't say didn't happen.
Yeah.
So do you guys stay quiet about that sort of stuff for the most part, or if you complain, do you risk them looking at you guys too?
Depends, like if we're not doing anything bad and we know the opposition is doing something
try
that
and get it seen too.
You just like point at them.
What's this?
This is happening, this is happening.
I'm a food person kind of. I like my food groups are bag box bottled canned and restaurant food. How much of your diet stuff do you go and do you have the same like stuff the Olympians have in terms of eat this, eat that, you need this many carbs? Or are they like, yeah, go have that junk food, go have that cigarette, it's all okay?
Oh, cigarettes, no.
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 I think we all know what we
can eat. Yeah.
We can eat, and it's all up to our boundaries. And we've seen dietitians in Perth and in our home states. We've also seen dietitians in the AIS, so they've let us know what's suitable and what's not, and then given us free rein. And from there.
So you guys can eat kind of what you want.
Yeah.
It's not like someone's going to come down and be like, "Why'd you have that chocolate cake?"
Yeah.
And you'll be like,
"No, it's never
like
that."
See my room. I got a stash. Gotta have some energy as well.
What's your favorite chocolate place? Do you have a favorite chocolate thing?
Well, I'm a Lindt fan, I must admit.
Okay.
Couple of weeks ago, we went to the Lindt shop.
Yeah.
Hot chocolate was amazing.
The one in Sydney?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Melbourne, sorry. No, Melbourne.
Hello. Which is now we've got the Victorian. Flab.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, do you mind we're recording this?
Oh, okay, that's fine.
I just want to make sure you're... I won't try to ask you too many questions that'll get you in trouble, because I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay.
So, this is the Victorian, and you're also 4.5 or 4?
4.
Okay. And she's got spina bifida, she's got a club foot. And what's your problem?
I have a hereditary and degenerative condition.
Okay.
It's called hereditary sensory and motor neuropathy. Basically what that means is that I have my nerves,
yep.
They don't work very well,
yep.
And so my extremities have developed weakness, so my hands and my legs, they're weak.
So, so that means you can't feel pain?
I have sensation issues.
But you can feel, your pain off. Basically, can you feel less pain when you ram into somebody?
Well, depends. Well, certain spots are worse than others.
Okay.
So some spots are really, dull, and then other spots are heightened, so it could go either way.
I'm trying to think. I've asked them about this. Do you like the contact aspects of basketball, or do you choose basketball because there's less contact than, say, rugby?
I was an able-bodied basketballer.
Oh, you were? Okay, that makes sense.
So, I mean, I developed my condition at age 19.
Okay.
So I played for 10 years, and the thought of being able to play basketball again was severely, so no other sport compared.
Okay, so you were already a basketball player coming in, so there was never a question of you after you developed, maybe I'll become an archery star, or a wheelchair tennis star.
Well, I went to a Paralympic talent search, so I gave every sport an opportunity that if I did have skills in other areas, that's where I would go, because I didn't really consider wheelchair basketball in general.
Oh.
But swimming was my first option. I wasn't very good at it, so... so I just went to a talent search, and they tested out what my ability was and what I'd be best suited to, and they just said basketball. But they said basketball looking at me before I even did anything, so...
One of the things I've read about wheelchair basketball is there's a question of introducing a five-point player, a completely able-bodied athlete. Do you guys think five-point players are something that should be introduced to your sport?
I'm going to go with no.
Yeah,
I mean, they already play in our National League, so they already have opportunities to participate in the sport. So from there, they can play represent their state and lower. So
yeah.
They've got heaps of opportunities, but to take away someone's opportunity who wants to be the best, you know, just like an Olympian does, for someone who is completely at a, who is has an advantage over that person,
yeah.
I think would be unfair.
Yeah, I agree.
So I assume you've heard of the Oscar situation?
Oscar Pistorius?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Oscar? Because I've talked to a couple of people and they're like, he's got a competitive advantage because of that sort of stuff. And it's kind of the hot button issue going into it.
I think it's really amazing that he's in the Olympics as well as the Paralympics, and that he has actually achieved that, because it's almost meshing together people's perceptions of disability,
yeah.
versus ability, and ability versus disability. So to bring the two, like Olympics and Paralympics, as one with just him in the Olympics is really good. I think it's good.
It's very controversial, and I don't know that there is a direct answer, because there's pros and cons for everything. Because I remember wearing splints that gave you that sort of lift off, like when you walk. And I can imagine that wearing the prosthetic that he does gives him that competitive edge by pushing him forward every single time. But at the same time,
somebody compared it to me, said it'd be like wearing a swimmer having a flipper.
Yeah. Well, it probably is, but until you're in that situation and try it, how do you actually know? Yeah. So I'm going to stay impartial. I don't have...
I actually don't know which way to go, because I'm kind of with Dory as well, because it's hard to say. Is it giving him an advantage? Is it just being the same? Like, I don't really know.
I guess now we should ask the obvious questions. Are you excited about London?
Yes.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Mega excited.
What are you going to do in London beyond...
competing.
Go out and drink and play some basketball. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. No,
during
we're off
the
session.
Games or after the
no,
games?
Yeah, are you guys are going to training camp early up there?
Yeah.
So you leave soon?
We're going home for 2.5 weeks, I believe. So we're away for, I think, 4 weeks.
Yeah, about a month. I'll see family that I haven't seen in 9 years, so that's nice.
And are you guys planning to stay longer, or is there anything you guys have extra time during your downtime to actually do stuff?
There is a huge shopping complex across the road from the village, so we've been told that if we want to see family and friends, we can go across there in our downtime, as long as people are aware. But we're actually all coming home on a chartered flight back to Australia. And then we go back to our house from there.
So not much downtime.
There wouldn't be, and I don't imagine that the coaches will allow us to just go out for the day. They might give us 2-3 hours at a time just to get away, but then not.
Do you think you guys will be better behaved than... Oh, God, an embarrassing question. Do you think you guys are... Some of the athletes have a reputation for after they win gold medals going out and doing embarrassing things. The basketball players aren't going to be doing embarrassing things after you guys theoretically do well.
I think we can celebrate without making a fool of ourselves and like knowing what is right and wrong. And we are all very well educated on what's right and wrong, you know, during and after the game. So we can certainly celebrate, but celebrate
basketball.
Right away.
Australia's been really good with telling you all that.
Yeah.
And it's not just about embarrassing ourselves, but it's also trying to maintain the integrity of the sport.
And you guys have gotten enough support that you feel happy, you know, you're sitting there going, you have enough money to live when you're doing this, you're not sitting there going, I'm...
Yeah, there's a lot of sports out there that don't actually get supported at all, and athletes are having to fund to go overseas on trips and stuff, so we are very fortunate that we do have that support and that we don't have to put in, and on top of that we do get money to go away and train, and if we need to take time off work we can, so... You know, we can survive on what we're on, but it's not necessarily a way to make millions of dollars. But we don't do it for the money, we do it because we love the sport. And, you know, Basketball Australia and the Sports Commission, they acknowledge that and assist us so that we can do it comfortably.
So what do you guys have plans for after basketball? I mean, do you want to... I'd be like Liesl Tess, is that her name? Who went on to become a sailor? Or are you guys going to go do some crazy things like climb Mount Everest or become a teacher or have 24 children? Or
God, that's a big question.
I definitely want to... Well, I'm only 19, so I've got a long way to go, but I would like to settle down and have a family. But I will wait for it to happen. I'll tackle that mountain when it comes.
I don't even know what are we doing. It's so, like, hopefully it's far away from me.
Well, these two are very young. I'm on the other side. I'm a little bit older than them. So I don't know that I have another campaign in me. Also considering my disability is degenerative. So I am looking at settling down with some work, going on holidays. I don't plan on working all that much, but I'm working on my website, and I've got lots of things in the works so that when I do finish basketball that there's lots of other opportunities, but also to raise awareness for the sport and making sure that there's enough going on in Victoria, and just enjoying life, because we're going on a completely massive roller coaster, and like it's nice to stop and enjoy it, but not get too serious about going back home and having a mortgage and going and paying it off. Like, to really just enjoy that life is actually quite good.
Yeah.
Because that's been one of the criticisms. If someone told me that some of the Germans, when they've gotten home, they've been built up and built up, that they aren't prepared going home after the games. So.
We have a lot of veterans on the team, that players that have done multiple Paralympics, and so they've already started educating us on, you know, what to expect after a Paralympics, that there is a lull, you know, you are on your own, and it's not as exciting when you go home, you have to go back to your boring job, you know, you don't have supportive, you know, 11 other athletes around, and there's not someone doing everything for you and making decisions for you. So, you know, they have told us that there is a process, and so we're as prepared as we can be because we haven't done it before, and we just go with it, and if we need each other, then we're there for each other, and hopefully there's a smooth transition into the next phase of our lives.
Cool. Do you need to take them away?
No.
You are?
I'm Claire.
Claire. Oh, God. Claire with a last name.
Not
N-O-T-T. N-O-T-T. I've got this recording, so that's why I'm listening.
Yeah.
So you're an experienced one.
This will be my second round.
Second?
Yeah.
So, okay. And since you've wandered into this, you're a what point player?
One.
Oh, okay. So having talked to these, the 1 point players are the ones who have all the fun, right? They're the ones who set the blocks, and they can do wheelchair rugby, kind of, if they really wanted to. Unless you're a delicate flower, like our Western Australia.
I'm from WA as well.
Yeah, she was
a
WA.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to teach her how to be a bit more of a bulldog, I guess.
Pit bull.
Yeah.
So why don't you do, as a 1 point player, it seems like all the fun would be because you, I guess, aren't expected to do as much. To ram people. So why not wheelchair rugby?
Well, wheelchair rugby is mainly for courts who have, like, their hands aren't as good as
okay.
We are, but I'm more able than them, so
okay.
I prefer wheelchair basketball. Yeah.
Did you do another sport before?
Or
you like
swimming.
Him? Oh, okay. So she can swim and she wants to drown. And
I want to drown.
Can't swim?
I can swim, but just not at the level to be good.
Okay, you're not now like Cole.
No, definitely not.
So, you just, oh God, now I've completely forgotten what I've said. You tried swimming, but you weren't good at it? Is that what you said?
I represented Australia at two different events, but it wasn't the Paralympics, right? They weren't high events,
okay.
But I just got bored with it.
Because you just swim in the same line all the time.
Yeah.
It gets really, really boring.
Yeah.
Basketball makes, you need to use your brain.
Yeah, it's a team sport. Yeah, it's a team. You can talk to
so
people.
Are basketball players more intelligent than, not, I don't mean that, not, okay, ignoring the ID basketball for, because I don't want to offend anyone. Do you think you guys have, like, a better game sense and there's more strategy and thinking that needs to go on?
Than?
I don't know, than running. Are you?
Well, we have to think, I guess, one or two steps ahead. So if I go this way, that'll open up the floor for somebody else. So you've got to think, you have to have a basketball brain. And you also have to learn about your opposition, so who to jump and who you can kind of sag off on. So there's a lot of studying that has to go on in basketball.
How much studying do you do?
Basketball? We all do quite a bit.
We watch a lot of videos.
Yeah, we watch a lot of video. And
do you guys
scouting.
Study the same players? So it's you're a one and you're a four and you're a four. Do you guys look at 1 point players, or do you say, I'm going to mark this 4 point player and mow her over today?
Well, it's important to learn everyone on court, because there could be a last minute switch and you've got to defense somebody that's a different class than you. So it's important to know all the people on the team.
Yeah, it's definitely important to know all the different people and to know everyone else's strengths and weaknesses.
So who's your biggest competition?
For London or
just
as a person?
Who would you enjoy playing the most, because you'd have the most fun in taking them down? If you could do it.
I like playing the Germans.
You like playing the Germans?
Yeah.
You guys beat them for the first time last time, long time?
Second time in a long time. Yeah. It's good.
You like the Germans too?
Yeah, stick to the Germans.
You like
they're always good to beat.
Yeah, they're our toughest.
Do you guys like the Kiwis? Or is it just we don't play them enough, we don't care?
I've never played them before.
Do they have a female team?
Do they?
They've got a national team, but they haven't put themselves into the qualification tournament because they're still developing their players.
Is the language ever a problem? Do you have problems swearing at German players and being like, get out of my way?
Well, we're not really a team that...
You don't talk trash?
No.
You're not like the men?
It's all about it. It's all about skill.
It's all about skill? Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
As a spectator, it's fun to kind of watch that stuff, but you guys are so quiet on the court. Like, the Chinese were like... And you guys are sitting there going...
I think they just scream, like they're very screechy, so they probably sound louder than us, but we communicate well to the players that are on court, and then the bench is loud to the players that are on court. I think we all speak, you know, appropriately to each other, because that's an edge that we have over all the other countries, is that when something goes wrong, we're all like at each other, so we're very composed and very united as a team.
That was as an observation of watching. It's like you guys were very quiet and subdued for a long time. You're all sitting there, your arms crossed over your chest.
I do that because my fingers get
cold. Oh, okay.
So I sit like this the whole game to keep them warm.
When I see like an able-bodied athlete do that, I'm like, oh god, they're sitting over there angry and annoyed. So there's
the stadium's very cold when you haven't been running around for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a body language thing when I'm sitting there going, oh god, they're annoyed at their players on the court.
Yeah, or deep in thought.
So are you too deep in thought when you're doing this?
I don't think so. I think I'm just watching and keeping warm as they are. Yeah. It's freezing in that place.
God, damn, it's cold. We have probably way more than we'll ever be able to use. So
what do you need to